So what on earth is this word alpha-gal, and what does that describe?
So alpha-gal is a carbohydrate or sugar that has two galactose sugars linked in an alpha-1-3 linkage.
Okay, you lost me. Say that to me in lay speak, please.
So there are two galactose sugars that are in line with each other in a certain configuration in space that chemists call an alpha configuration. And the technical name is this galactose alpha-1-3 galactose. So we call that alpha-gal for short.
On the surface of so many proteins, probably all proteins, there are carbohydrate moieties of one kind or the other. And galactose is one of those.
Correct.
Sialic acid would be another, but there are several sugars that coat proteins. And what you're describing then is a sugar, a galactose, that is present on some proteins.
Absolutely. One of the fascinating things about this alpha-gal sugar is that as humans, we don't have alpha-gal, and many sugars are ubiquitous. However, alpha-gal is different in the sense that non-primate mammals, so cows or sheep or pigs, cats, dogs, all have alpha-gal. As humans, we actually don't have that sugar, but we make an immune response to it.
So that would be one of the potential reasons why we as humans, if we eat foods that are derived from the species you just described, we could potentially develop a reaction to it.
That's true.
And like in so many allergies and autoimmune diseases, why most people can eat these kinds of animal products, some individuals become reactive to it. Is that right?
That is correct. And that is what the focus of my research and clinic is largely centered upon.
Why some people suddenly react to meat.
Exactly.
Right. So tell us a little bit about the history of how alpha-gal allergy was discovered and what was your role in that discovery process?
So I think it's a fascinating history and actually starts in the oncology or cancer world. In fact, there's some indication that when Martha Stewart went to prison, it involved alpha-gal. So what happened is...
Sounds like a story right then and there. We should get Martha Stewart to help us.
Yes. Her role in this essentially was that a company creating a cancer drug produced it in a mouse cell line. And these mouse cells, as we discussed earlier, that would be one of the species that makes alpha-gal. So these mouse cells decorated this cancer drug with their alpha-gal sugar. And so when this therapeutic was given to people who were allergic to alpha-gal, they reacted and reacted in a very serious way, life-threatening anaphylactic type reactions. And the company began to find that this was happening throughout the Southeast in the U.S., but not in California or New York. In fact, UNC was one of the early sites that identified that their patients who were receiving this medication were reacting on the order of 1 in 5 or 1 in 4 on first infusion of this medication.
1 in 5 or 1 in 4 patients.
Correct. So nearly a quarter of them were reacting the first time they were getting this medication. And when I say reacting, I mean hives, itching, loss of blood pressure, true kind of anaphylaxis. And the company began to know that this was happening in a certain geographic region, but not in others. And the story goes that perhaps they weren't as forthcoming with some of this data, but eventually they did have to tell the FDA. And allegedly, Martha's stockbroker found out that the company was moving towards telling the FDA. Her stock was sold at the appropriate time. So that is the cancer side of alpha-gal. Essentially, the way the story goes is that these patients were reacting because they had developed an allergic response to alpha-gal. So my role, that was work that was done by Dr. Platts-Mills' lab at the University of Virginia, where I was training as an allergy and immunology fellow. When I joined the lab, they had just published this work. But what we were seeing in the clinic was patients who were telling us, hey, doc, I think I'm allergic to beef or pork or lamb, but it doesn't happen every time, and it happens in a delayed way. And this sort of flew in the face of conventional food allergy at that point. But because we had this knowledge of the distribution of alpha-gal, being that it's in these lower mammals, and we had a test because Dr. Platts-Mills had just published this work with the cancer therapeutic, we thought maybe we should run their serum sample for this alpha-gal allergy. And sure enough, that opened the Pandora's box. So in 2009, we then published 24 cases of patients who reported that they had delayed responses, allergic responses, to beef, pork, or lamb.
So prior to that, somebody who would have thought they were having an allergic response to a slice of beef would have thought that they were nutty.
Absolutely. In fact, it's an excellent point because prior to that, allergic reactions to beef were almost case reportable in every instance. There's actually a publication of 12 patients who had a beef allergy from the early 1980s. And there really just wasn't much else in the literature related to red meat and allergic responses to it.
How does the story of tick bite then get admixed with what you found from these patients?
So at the time, we were fascinated by the idea that there was a delayed allergic response, but we had no understanding or indication why these patients, these were largely adults, safely eaten beef 40 or 50 years, and all of a sudden developing an allergic response. So we began to try to think, what was it about perhaps the geography of the Southeast, or what was it about these patients that might have some common history to give us a clue? And we tried lots of different things, but ultimately it came down to two observations. One was a map, the map of Rocky Mountain spotted fever. So the incidence, if you look at the CDC maps for Rocky Mountain spotted fever, the incidence of that really played quite well, almost overlaid with the map of our allergic responses to beef in an alpha-gal allergy type of way. And then secondly was one of the technicians in our lab at the time had been hiking, and he got several tick bites and developed a new onset allergy to beef.
So then what a chance moment in time. Sorry for the guy.
Indeed. And so it does show you that serendipity, it favors the prepared mind. So here we are just investigating this and absolutely stumbled upon the idea that tick bites perhaps could be doing this. So then we essentially called back our patients that we'd been enrolling in our meat allergy study, and this was largely my role, and began to ask them questions related to their tick bite history, exposure, settings where they were, and began to sort of piece the puzzle together.
How do you know it's a tick bite? What's the evidence that it's a tick bite?
So we're actively working on this because you bring up an excellent point. If you go in the woods, how do we know that it's just a tick or not poison ivy or a mosquito or that type of thing? And ultimately, we're working on a mouse model where we can inject tick extract into a certain type of mouse, and these mice produce the same allergic response to alpha-gal that our patients do. And that so far has been the best indication